In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Good morning. Another glorious day, wouldn't you say? The sun's shining, it's a beautiful summer day, and it's early, and we're here, and we're awake. Amen?
Amen.
All right. I want to talk to you a little bit about what Paul has to say to the church in 2 Corinthians today. Now, we understand 2 Corinthians, Paul is urging the church to sort of get on board with the ministry that they're called to, that he's been called to align with him in it. And in this particular chapter, in chapter 4 or 5, we're hearing Paul talking much about active gospel ministry. And we hear him today, picking up in chapter 4, verse 13, he says, "But as we have the same spirit of faith, that is in accordance with Scripture, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we speak." So at that moment, Paul is quoting or pointing back to a psalm of David, Psalm 116. And I think it might be important to hear just a little bit about what was happening in that psalm that he in the area in which he's referencing it. So it's verses 10 is sort of the rough reference he's making, but verses 8 and 9 kind of feed into it. He says, "For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I kept my faith, even when I said, I am greatly afflicted." Paul is referencing that back because, as you know, Paul had sort of a difficult ministry. He had a really bad habit of getting arrested and thrown in jail, where he would sit and write letters to the church. He was constantly getting thrown out of places for going out and speaking the name of Jesus and encouraging others to come to know Christ. And so he is saying, but we have this same faith like David's faith. We have this faith that says when the world pushes you down, you stand back up. We have a faith that we can be sure of, and he continues on. And he said, not only are we so sure of it, but we continue to speak of it. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace as it extends to more and more people may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. You notice that Paul really only has one motivation for his work. And you'll hear it over and over from him. The goal is to see that God receives the glory. And as he continues to speak of what was happening, he says, "So we do not lose heart," verse 16, "even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure." And as we continue to hear these things that he is saying, he is repeating again the promises God has made to us. And he's saying, yeah, it's going to be difficult. People are going to get upset with you. It's going to be uncomfortable. You're going to get tired. Your body is going to wear down. But it's okay. Nothing should hold us back from doing the will of God, ever. Because we should hear and know the promises that God has made to us. That is always the thing that keeps Paul moving forward. Imagine if we were having to do our ministry, knowing we were going to walk into a town to share the good news of the gospel and be likely thrown in jail for whatever time period they felt that we should sit there. How willing would we be to walk into that next town? See, this is what Paul did. Paul was a missionary. He went to the world to share the good news of the gospel with absolutely no concern and no fear of what would happen to him in the process. It's go. And you'd have to ask, well, how could he keep doing that? It's because he knew the promises that God had made. He understood Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and based on that understanding, he moved, knowing that the absolute worst thing that could happen is this earthly tent, as he refers to it, would come crashing down his body. And he speaks of that also. He said, because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal, speaking of the promises of God. For we know, chapter 5, verse 1, for we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. He said, so if the earthly body comes to an end, we have. Now he knows he always holds on to that promise that Jesus might show up before his tent collapses. We have come up in a society that has taught us to protect the tent at all costs. Take care of this body, take care of this self, and nothing should interfere. We are so used to it that we see sometimes in the world somebody makes a deep personal sacrifice to care for someone else. Whether it be in an accident, whether it be someone who's gone to war, whether it be someone who just helped another human being that they saw on the street in need. And we grab a hold of those people. And every once in a while, the news even gets a hold of one, right? And what do they call them? A hero. Look, this person's a hero. And most of them would say what? No, I'm not. But we've reached this place where we're so sure of taking care of ourselves. We take care of ourselves when? First. We take care of ourselves first. Unfortunately, that has worked its way into every aspect of our lives, and I don't think Paul would understand this at all, would he? Take care of myself first. But there's people in the next town that I've been called to go tell them about Jesus. We make a lot of plans so that when we go to do God's work, we make sure that it gets done right. Anybody who goes out and does God's work knows that you can plan all you want, but what happens is going to be up to God. So I would say we should just prepare. People say, well, we plan our liturgy. No, we prepare for our liturgy. Who's going to walk where? Who's going to say what? We prepare, and hopefully we understand a little bit about what we're supposed to be doing up here. But you know what happens every single worship service in our liturgical tradition? Do you know what the one thing is guaranteed? Do you know what it is? Somebody's going to screw something up. Something's not going to go right. Something's not going to work. The slides won't run. The mic will drop out. Something is going to go wrong. But we don't panic, and we don't stop ourselves from going forward to worship. So brothers and sisters, I would say this to you. Going out and doing the will of God, we prepare our hearts for his work. We prepare by understanding that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. We prepare by understanding the very basics that Paul refers to. We understand and recognize that the grace of God is always present. That's his reference to the psalm earlier, Psalm 116. This is David crying out in thanksgiving for the grace of God having poured into his life. Once we know that, and we then believe that this God is true, then we speak of that which we know is true. And why? So that the grace as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. I suspect there's one or two professing Christians in this room. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody? Am I it? Okay, we got six. Professing Christians. Anybody? Now, I'm going to keep pushing you, so you might as well do it. Just wait. Another 2 months, I'm going to make you stand up. But think about it for a second. And I don't want you to get upset with me. But I want you to think just for a second. There is no safer place for us to openly speak our faith than where we are right now. And I know it's early. And you're not quite figured out what this guy's doing up here every Sunday. But how we hesitated to just raise our hand among each other and profess Jesus Christ as Lord by raising our hand. He's calling us into the world to say His name, to offer His grace, love, and mercy to all people in His name. It's hard, isn't it? And I'll say this to you. It's no accident that Paul is referring back to David's psalm. If you want to find the strength to go to the world and speak of that which you know, it will be easier when you come to know what it is. So whatever little piece of your life that is holding you back from a full understanding and interaction with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, invite Him into that place. Your deepest fear, your deepest sorrow, your deepest shame, your deepest sin. Ask Jesus to meet you there and see what He has to say to you. It is in that place where His grace will become real to you. It is in that place where He will transform you from one who is in fear of being caught, not doing the best that you could have done. It is in that place where His grace will pour in and you will recognize that He loves you even when you are broken and damaged and sinful. And when you have that understanding of His grace, you can then walk through fire. This world will not slow you down, and your fear of what this world might say to you will mean nothing, because you will know that He has prepared a place for you, and you will know that as a result of that, He is indwelling your very life now. You will walk without fear. And when you sit in the church and your crazy new priest says, "Are there any Christians here?" and he raises his hand, anytime I'm preaching and I look like this and I put my hand up, my expectation is that all who are in agreement are going to put their hand up. A week or so ago, there we go, see, hands are up in the back. Thanks be to God. I wrote you a little note that should have come in your email. I picked those hymns a Thursday night a week or two ago, whatever it was, seems like a lifetime. And the final hymn from that celebration of new ministry was, stand up for Jesus. We should be excited. We are the ones He has entrusted with this call. We need to get ready. And we need to go. And since this is working so well, into this understanding that we have a mission team leaving this week. Those that are here, come up. Man, if you can't come up and get up here, you're going to have a hard time once you get there.
Right. Yeah. No, I'll have them under control.
Will you?
Yeah.
Well, that's going to be a problem because we need God to be in control.
No, I'll make sure they get up.
Oh, okay. You'll stand them up and then he'll make them go.
Knock on the door. Time to get up.
Our brothers and sisters are preparing to go down to the DR. This is something that this parish has sent a team for 13 years. 13 years, and you've been working physically on a building of a church,
yes.
A worship space.
Yes.
And it's completing.
Yes.
Excellent. Will it be consecrated while you're there?
Not while we're there, but the first week of July it will be.
First week of July, a church that they've been physically building with these hands. These hands, not these. I haven't been here. Mine just looked this bad. Will be consecrated for the purpose of worshiping God, the gathering of God's people, the actual church. We think it's the buildings. It's really not. The church is us. So we are going to send them out to do that work. They have heard the call, and they're going. Now, not everybody's going to get called to foreign mission, but everybody is called to the mission field, whether it be just outside this door or halfway around the world. The mission field is wherever you are standing when you understand that you are a missionary called by God, which you are. If you don't know that yet, it's just a question of gaining the understanding. So, I don't know how you all usually do this, but where I come from, when we send missionaries out, we lay hands on them and pray them up so that when they get out there in the field, they're ready to speak the name of Jesus. So I'm going to ask them to sort of turn and face the altar. And anybody who wants to come up and lay hands on this team, I'm going to ask you to do that. I know now you're really going to stand up. Yeah, come on up. Better be ready. They're actually coming. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you continue to call your people out into the field, the places in which they can share your very name with the world, that they, Lord, will be the ones that you will use. They will be your hands and feet. Lord, we just lift them up to you this day, that you would just send them out to speak your name with great joy and great conviction, with no fear, Lord, of what may come, but in great expectation of your coming. May we be here in prayer supporting them. May we not forget that they're in the field and be surprised when they return, but be anxious to see them on their return as they bring and report to us the great deeds that you will do through them. And may all that they do, all that they say, and all that they touch be done solely to the glory of your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.